Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
History tells the story of the world and of our lives. Sometimes that history goes bump in the night. Broadcasting from the center of oddity and the supernatural in Central Florida, it's the History Goes Bump podcast.
Hello, you spectacular people. Welcome to this 531st episode of the History Goes Bump podcast, Ghost Tours for the Theater of the Mind. I'm your host, Diane.
And this is Kelly.
Kelly, on this episode, we are doing a subject that was suggested by our listener, Ivy Johnson. That is the haunting of Loretta Lynn.
I can't wait to bring this to the listeners.
Now, we lost Loretta not too long ago, so I don't have any stories of her actual ghost haunting anywhere yet. But she apparently thought that she was psychic, and her ranch, which is an amazing place we definitely have to go check out, has all kinds of stories. So we think you guys are going to really enjoy this one. Before we get into that, we want to welcome into the Spooktacular crew, Christy, who spells her name with a K and an I at the end.
Thank you for joining the Spooktacular crew.
And now, this moment in oddity.
The Moment in Oddity was suggested by Karen Miller. In the country of France, there's a very unique building that dates back to 1347 called the Escheif in Périgueux. It is located in the city of Périgueux and consists of an oak timber framed building with wattle and daub infill. Wattle and daub is a composite building method used for making buildings where a wattle, or woven lattice of wood strips, is daubed with a sticky material which is typically a mix of wet soil, sand, animal dung, and straw. The unusual building is balanced on the narrow ramparts of Pouilly-Saint-Front, which was the medieval center of Périgueux, and is supported on oak struts along its length. At nearly 700 years old, the fact that this building is still intact is amazing. During the Middle Ages, the building was used as a method of surveillance of the Tournepiche Bridge, which was a toll bridge. The building, which is shaped like a house, sits atop a wall. The rampart looks to be approximately 20 feet high. Aside from the angled support beams, the width of the supporting rampart looks to only be about a third of the building's footprint if it were sitting on the earth. Structural engineering today can produce all sorts of amazing feats, but a nearly 700-year-old building still accomplishing this in modern times certainly is odd. And now, this month in history.
In the month of March, on the 28th in 1979, the Three Mile Island accident occurred. Three Mile Island was a nuclear generating station near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. The accident started at 4 a.m. and began releasing radioactive gases and iodine into the surrounding areas. There was a failure in the non-nuclear secondary system, which then was compounded by a valve in the primary system, which became stuck in the open position. There were further mechanical failures that arose. The Three Mile Island incident is considered one of the worst accidents in U.S. commercial nuclear power plant history. It brought about new regulations to the nuclear industry. This also stimulated the anti-nuclear movement activists who fought for the ceasing of nuclear production due to worries of regional health effects. The cleanup of Three Mile Island began in August of 1979, officially ending in December of 1993. The nuclear plant was restarted in 1985, but then was officially retired in 2019. The decommissioning is predicted to be finished in 2079 at an expected cost of $1.2
billion. Hurricane Mills Rural Historic District is the name of Loretta Lynn's ranch in Tennessee. This is a large 3,500-acre property that is basically its own little village. Loretta Lynn wasn't shy about telling people that her ranch was haunted. She embraced the paranormal and even claimed to have her own psychic abilities. The world lost an amazingly talented singer and songwriter when she passed in October of 2022. On this episode, we will explore the life of this coal miner's daughter and the hauntings that surrounded her.
In a cabin on a hill in Butcher Holler. We were poor, but we had love. That's the one thing that Daddy made sure of. He shoveled coal to make a poor man's dollar.
Loretta Lynn once said, "To make it in this business, you either have to be first, great, or different." And I was the first to ever go into Nashville, singing it like the women lived it. We think she was being modest, as she proved to be both great and different. While many might think of her as a classic country and bluegrass singer, she wasn't afraid to twist things up, as she did in 2004 when she recorded the duet Portland, Oregon with rocker Jack White of the group White Stripes.
That ain't love, then tell me what is, Well, I lost my heart, it didn't take no time. That ain't all, I lost my mind in Oregon. In a booth in the corner with the lights down low, I was moving in fast, she was taking it slow.
She was only the second country music singer to receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And with 3 Grammy Awards, 7 American Music Awards, 8 Broadcast Music Incorporated Awards, 13 Academy of Country Music Awards, and 8 Country Music Association Awards, she remains the most awarded woman in country music history. Although she rose to these great heights, she started from very modest means.
She began as Loretta Webb in April of 1932, named for film star Loretta Young. Loretta was born to Clara and Theodore Webb in Butcher Hollow, Kentucky. Ted was a coal miner who battled black lung disease for many years before dying of a stroke at the age of 52. She had 7 siblings, one of whom is country music star Crystal Gayle. Butcher Hollow was a remote Appalachian hamlet, and the family lived in dire poverty in a mountain cabin, with Ted Webb providing much of the family's food from what he raised on their property. The family clearly had music, though, based on the musical success that has come from this family, right up to Loretta's granddaughter, Emmy Russell, who tried out for the recent season of American Idol and got her ticket to go to Hollywood. But becoming a music legend wasn't initially in the stars for Loretta. Getting married and raising a family seemed to be her destiny, and it came early. She was only 15 when she met 21-year-old war veteran Oliver Doolittle Mooney Lynn. The couple were married a month after meeting, and Do, as Loretta called him, moved her to Northwest Washington to live in a logging community.
When I read that about her history, I was like, whoa. Some accounts say that she was just 14.
Wow.
Yeah, she started very, very young. The marriage would last nearly 50 years until Dew died in 1996. It wasn't a happy marriage all the way through. Dew was a hellraiser and serial philanderer and also an alcoholic. Loretta had 4 children by the time she was 20.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
The couple would add twins in 1964 after Loretta got started on her music career. And it was that music that saved her sanity. Imagine being moved away from your country roots and everyone you knew at such a young age, and then being responsible for a home and children when still a teenager. I mean, a lot of us
are babysitting
at that age, not raising our own children. Loretta wrote in an autobiography, "I married Dew when I wasn't but a child, and he was my life from that day on. But as important as my youth and upbringing was, there's something else that made me stick to Dew. He thought I was something special, more special than anyone else in the world, and never let me forget it. That belief would be hard to shove out the door. Dew was my security, my safety net. And just remember, I'm explaining, not excusing. Dew was a good man and a hard worker, but he was an alcoholic, and it affected our marriage all the way through." That something special was definitely her voice. Loretta would sing while doing her chores of hand laundry, gardening, canning, cleaning, and cooking. And Dew would listen and tell her over and over that she was better than anyone he heard on the radio.
Dew was so impressed with Loretta's singing that he bought her a guitar and told her she needed to learn how to play it and write songs. Lynn said, "After he got me the guitar, I went out and bought a country song roundup. I looked at the songs in there and thought, well, this ain't nothing. Anybody can do this."
I just love how she's like, "Oh, anybody can write songs and play them. Come on."
"I just wrote about things that happened. I was writing about things that nobody talked about in public, and I didn't realize that they didn't. I was having babies and staying at home. I was writing about life. That's why I had songs banned."
Can you imagine? You're just a housewife, basically, who's writing songs about what you do all day, and they get you banned.
Yeah. She started performing at nightclubs in the area, and one night when she was at a club in Vancouver, Canada, executives from Zero Records heard her sing, and they offered her a contract. She debuted her first single, "I'm a Honky Tonk Girl," in March 1960. The song was based off a woman Loretta met while performing at a club who was very intoxicated and told her about how terrible her life was. And the song was recorded in the Bakersfield sound style, which meant it had a West Coast shuffle. Dew and Loretta hopped in their Mercury and drove around the country self-promoting the song to radio stations.
Nashville loved the song, and she was invited to sing at the Grand Ole Opry on October 15th, 1960. The Wilburn brothers befriended her and helped her polish her style and got her signed by Decca Records. That contract came because Decca producer Owen Bradley loved Loretta's song, "Fool Number One." But he didn't want to sign another female country singer. He had a whole lineup of them, and he's like, "I don't need another female country singer, but I love this song." Teddy Wilburn said he could only have the song if he signed Loretta. Good friend, good pseudo-manager there.
Yep.
Brenda Lee went on to make "Fool Number One" a pop hit. Owen eventually came to adore Loretta, and he dubbed her the female Hank Williams. So that gives you an idea of just how amazing she was. Loretta's first song with Decca was 1962's Success. This made the top 10 and would just be the first of 50 top 10 hits for Lynn. 50.
Wow.
That's, wow.
Blows our mind.
It does.
Huge.
My
number.
Brain just went all over the walls.
Ew. That's going to be difficult to clean up.
Well, that is what I do for a living. I'm a cleaning lady.
Well,
I've never had
I'll
to do
let
crime
you have at it.
I've never had to do crime scene cleanup before, so I don't know, but. Bleach will work. Bleach works on everything. The Grand Ole Opry invited her to be a regular member of the cast in 1962, and it would be during this time that she would become friends with another subject of one of our Haunted People episodes, Patsy Cline. Cline taught her how to dress and style her hair and makeup, and the friendship was so enduring that Loretta named one of her twins after Patsy.
In 1966, Lynn's song, You Ain't Woman Enough to Take My Man, hit number one, making her the first country female recording artist to write a number one hit. Controversy was part of many of the songs that Lynn penned. Her most controversial was 1973's Rated X. The song was about the stigma women faced in the early 1970s after getting divorced. It reached number one and spent a week there. The White Stripes often included the song in their playlist at concerts in the late 1990s. Loretta teamed up with Conway Twitty in 1971 to record a duet, and it was the beginning of a long and beautiful professional relationship. They would have five number one consecutive hits from 1971 to 1975 together. Fun fact, Shel Silverstein, who wrote the beloved classics The Giving Tree and Where the Sidewalk Ends, wrote Lynn's number one hit, One's on the Way.
Thought that was cool. I really loved The Giving Tree.
And of course, I read Where the Sidewalk Ends all the time. I love all their little ditties and poems and so forth. They're sure. Funny.
Yeah, he was very good. The 1970s were a huge peak for Loretta. She made many appearances on TV talk shows, was featured on the cover of Red Book and Newsweek, was the first woman to win Entertainer of the Year at the CMA Awards, and she was named Artist of the Decade by the Academy of Country Music. She's the only female to have that honor. The film Coal Miner's Daughter debuted in 1980, starring Tommy Lee Jones as Dew and Sissy Spacek as Loretta. Spacek won the Best Actress Oscar for her performance. The movie was based on Loretta's first autobiography. Lynn would write a second one in 2002. Loretta continued to produce hit songs and albums for the rest of her life, even experiencing a late career resurgence in 2004 that continued to 2022. You know, that resurgence started in 2004 with Jack White from The White Stripes, and that immediately made me think about the fact that we have other singers that have kind of done the same thing that were in country, that were these classic country singers. Johnny Cash came out with a Nine Inch Nails song.
Sure.
Which you would have never thought. And then you got Dolly Parton coming out with her more recent album called Rockstar, in which she teams up with Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Stevie Nicks, Linda Ronstadt, and Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, it's so cool. And I love seeing them cross over like that.
The year 2012 brought a third autobiography. That is a sign of a long life and a very fruitful life with lots of stuff going on.
Definitely.
Her 50th studio album dropped in 2021. Loretta had a stroke in 2017 and broke her hip during a fall in 2018, but she fought back and continued performing. She died in her sleep at the age of 90 on October 4th, 2022. She was buried on her ranch next to Dew, who had died, as we said earlier, in 1996. His death was heartbreaking for her, and she never remarried.
Loretta's ranch is the sixth largest attraction in the state of Tennessee. As we said, it stretches over 3,500 acres and is officially known as Loretta Lynn's Ranch and Campground. Loretta and Dew were looking for a piece of Tennessee they could call their own when they stumbled upon Hurricane Mills in 1966. The property had been around since the late 1800s, and the Lynns wanted the big house on the hill. The owner of the house would only sell if the couple would buy the whole town, too. So they bought the full 3,500 acres in 1966. There were many historic buildings, including a grist mill on the property. The Lynns preserved the old grist mill, and the village is centered around it. The Hurricane Creek Dam was built in 1839 from wood and stone and refaced with concrete in 1912. There was also the Hurricane Mills Bridge, which is a gorgeous steel bridge built in 1911 by the Nashville Bridge Company, and the Hurricane Mills General Store and Post Office built in 1926. A school is also on the property. The Hurricane Mills Historic District was listed on the National Register of Historic Places in 1999. The paperwork has very detailed descriptions of all the buildings.
And we have a link in our show notes because I think it was 50 pages long. It's got all kinds of stuff
wow.
on the property. And a lot of it is not historical. It was added by the Lynns later on, too. And now a little break for a word about one of our sponsors.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Loretta and Dew lived in the classical revival-styled mansion here from 1966 to 1988. This was originally known as the Hillman Anderson House. It was built in 1876 and has a two-story Queen Anne-style front porch, with the rest of the farmhouse being in neoclassical revival style. The interior has a central hall floor plan with a curved self-supporting staircase in the central hall.
I love those. My heart always just goes, yeah.
How many mansions have we been in that have those things? It's great. There's molded trim, carved scroll work, and paneled doors and transoms, and Greek revival and Queen Anne wooden mantelpieces. The Lynns renovated, adding a new kitchen, a one-story side wing, new bathrooms, and central heat and air. That's important to get that in there.
Heck yeah, it is. Heat for you and air for me.
Yes. After they moved out, the home was open for touring so that people could see how they lived and see memorabilia and family photos. And in some of the pictures I've seen of it, they have mannequins in different places doing things. Like, you know, in the kitchen, there's a female mannequin cooking.
Oh, that's not creepy at all.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe you didn't need to put that in there.
Maybe that's why it's haunted.
Could be. A replica of the cabin that Loretta grew up in has been recreated and is on the property for touring and was used in the movie Coal Miner's Daughter. They actually did some inside shots in the house, too, for the movie.
Very cool.
The museum on the ranch features Loretta's outfits she wore during performances and awards that she's won. And up until her death, Loretta lived in a small private residence behind the mansion. And if you were there, just taking a tour, every so often she'd come out and say hi to everybody.
That is amazing. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, I was like, that'd be cool. You'd just be there like, oh, it's so cool to see Loretta Lynn stuff. And oh, she still lives here. There she is. There are several guest cabins and 300 powered campsites for RVs where people can stay. And there are many things to do on the ranch, from horseback riding to hiking to fishing to Jeep events to motorcycle events. And there are places to eat.
My goodness.
So it really is a family-friendly, multi-day thing you could plan for yourself.
Well, 3,500 acres, I would expect they'd have going on. That's a lot of land. There is a paranormal side to Loretta Lynn via not only her haunted ranch, but the woman herself. Loretta claimed that she could see and talk to spirits from a very early age, and at first, she didn't think it was strange. She thought all kids experienced the same thing. Lynn claimed that her mother had been psychic, too, and she thought that it came from the Cherokee side of their family. Her mother would have premonitions of things that would happen 2 weeks later. People would laugh when she would tell them things, but after she continued to be right about so many things, family members started believing her. Loretta claimed that her mother had told her that she would meet Doolittle. Psychic abilities came to Loretta not only in being able to see family members and others who had died, but she would have very vivid dreams. Many times, the dreams would scare her. Often, she would say that spirits didn't scare her, but her dreams did. Shortly after moving to Washington, she awakened at 4 a.m. and told Dew that her father had died. She saw him in a coffin. Several minutes later, a neighbor knocked on the door and told Loretta she needed to come to his house for a phone call because she and Dew didn't have a phone. The call was her sister-in-law telling her that her father had passed. When she got home for the funeral, she told her mother that her father was in the coffin and suit she had dreamed about.
So I think there's something to her claims there. That
definitely.
She was psychic. She had said something about the first time she remembered seeing a spirit. I think she was 10 years old. And she was just sitting and having something to eat at the table. And it was like this shadowy figure just walking around. I just think it's cute that she's like, well, I'm sure all kids experience the same thing. So
right.
Nothing weird about that I'm seeing people that clearly the adults aren't seeing. Loretta Lynn appeared on Celebrity Ghost Stories on Season 3, Episode 9. And psychic Kim Russo came out to explore the ranch. Loretta told the show that the mansion had been used as a Civil War hospital. And there had been, I think, a battle that had taken place out on the land as well. Album covers that lined the walls of the staircase would get turned upside down and would be crooked. At night, they would hear things like disembodied footsteps. She mentioned hearing high heels a lot, too.
So interesting.
I'm thinking kind of
nurses,
not...
maybe? Nurses, maybe? Because I know back in that time, they actually wore heeled shoes. They didn't wear comfy shoes.
Exactly. So at first, when she said they would hear high heels, I'm thinking... the kind of heels that women wear nowadays, but I'm sure it's more of those with the thicker heel on the back end. Yeah. Her twin daughters would tell her stories in the morning about a woman who would come and stand by their beds. This would be a woman dressed in white with her hair up in a hairdo from another period. Her son Jack once claimed that he had laid down on his bed one night after doing some drinking, and he was awakened by a man trying to pull his boots off. When he turned and looked at the man, he saw that he was wearing a Civil War soldier uniform. His dog was in the room and growling at the guy. The dog lunged at the guy and went right through him. That's when Jack realized he was looking at a ghost. Jack got up, ran out of the room, and nearly fell down the stairs because he was so scared and running away. I've also heard this story told that his brother was in the room, and it almost sounded like they were younger when this happened. Some people equated it would be like they were preparing him for surgery or something, so they would have to take the boots off of the soldiers and stuff to check over their injuries, get them ready to have surgery or whatever, and so that's probably what was going on there.
Or the Civil War soldier might have thought he was deceased and wanted the boots for himself.
Sure, if he passed out from drinking, he would have seemed maybe like he was dead or whatever. And then in those stories that I read, he like ran in and tell his parents what had happened. But I think it did happen when he was older. This room is now called the Brown Room. It is the most haunted room in the house, and they generally don't let people go on any tours up there because of that room. Because they have so much stuff going on there. The staff doesn't want to go in there or have anything to do with it.
Huh.
So they don't let people up there.
Loretta was really sick on tour once, and she had to be put in the ICU. She dreamed that she had lost her boy. Shortly after that, her husband came in and told her that Jack had died. He had been riding a horse, and he drowned in the river on the property. The really weird twist to this story is that Loretta's mom had visited her right after the Lynns had purchased the property, and as they walked the property, Loretta's mother grabbed her arm and told her that one of her children was going to drown there, and that she should move away. Loretta had hoped that her mother was wrong. A séance was conducted on the property with the singer and her closest friends, and they contacted a spirit calling himself Anderson. He seemed angry to have them contacting him, and Loretta claimed he started shaking the table angrily, and it eventually broke apart.
Loretta was walking up to the mansion on a day when it was misty raining, and she looked up and saw a woman in white standing on the balcony. The woman was crying and wringing her hands. Loretta thought that perhaps her twin's babysitter had upset the woman, so Loretta went in and asked the babysitter, Gloria, who the woman was. The babysitter said no one was there but her. The balcony was empty when they checked. Loretta wanted to know who the woman was, so she visited several people in the area inquiring as to who had built the house and who had lived in it. One woman brought out an album of pictures, and Loretta was looking through them trying to find a picture of the woman, and she found it. The lady in white was a member of the Anderson family, and her baby died during childbirth, and she mourned herself to death. She cried all the time. Kim Russo claimed that a James Anderson joined her in the car as they drove on to the ranch. He wanted the car to be stopped near an open field, and he told Russo that he was going to serve as a guide for her. She got out of the car and could feel a vortex of energy, and she could hear the horses and sounds of battle from the Civil War. She could smell the artillery and saw a lot of bloodshed. Those spirits are still running around the property, she said. James said he sticks around to protect Loretta and her family after her husband died. James claimed he was going to mess with the audio to let them know he was around, and Loretta's audio got really overdriven at one time. Yeah, so Kim was in the car and she just goes, there's a man here and he just got in next to me. James was the husband of the woman who lost her child. It was really interesting how this audio thing happened, because when he said he was going to mess with the audio, I thought it was going to be like just kick the audio out or something like that. Like all of a sudden they wouldn't have something recorded.
Right.
Something like that. Now, I don't know how audio works when you have different mics on different people and you're recording all of this different stuff. But because I listen to audio, it may not have been as noticeable to people who are watching the show. They would have just been reacting to the fact that the sound guy all of a sudden went, oh, there's something wrong with Loretta's thing. I'm getting quadruple. And then Kim Russo's like, oh, you're having something wrong with the audio. And then you can hear the guys kind of going off and they're discussing like what's happening, how to fix it. And then she tells Loretta, I think there's something wrong with, they said, with your audio. I'm not sure what it is, but she goes, when I was coming up here in the car and James Anderson had gotten in the car with me, he told me he was going to indicate he was here by messing with the audio. So she goes, I wonder if that's what's going on.
Interesting.
I didn't know what the guy meant by quadrupled, but I knew when I was listening, I went, whoa, Loretta's audio just got really overdriven right there. And I'm like, did she like talk really loud into the mic or something? So then I went, oh, that must be what he meant by it got quadrupled or something. So it was only hers that got messed with too, which I thought was interesting.
Loretta's grandson told Tennessee's WJHL News that the power happened to go out one night, and as I was rounding the corner to get back into my room, the chandelier was the only light that was on in the house. What's so strange about this is that the entire house is on the same electric breaker. There's no possible way the chandelier could have been on while all the other lights were off. The whole house was on one breaker? That seems crazy. I mean, usually you have multiple breakers for different areas of the house, and especially as large of a mansion.
Yeah, I don't understand what he meant by that either. I mean, we do have one big breaker on the house that we can turn all of the power off and we flip that. So I don't know if he was indicating that or what. Yeah, that is kind of weird. I'm assuming that he's just saying the power was out in the entire house, but somehow that chandelier was lit.
Right. Lynn's son Ernest and his girlfriend had said that they didn't like to be outside their home on the property at night because there were so many spirits around. They would see the apparitions of Confederate soldiers, and that was probably because several had been buried in the yard near their home. WKRN visited Loretta's mansion in 2016, and the crew claimed some weird stuff happened in the haunted room upstairs. One thing was knocking coming from inside the closet. They would open it and find nothing inside that could be causing the knocking.
And another thing with Ernest and his girlfriend, they were also on that Celebrity Ghost Stories. And Kim Russo, you know, she always gives a reading to the person as well. And so she was saying that she kept getting something about the pancreas. And she was getting it in regards to both Ernest and Loretta's husband. Well, Loretta's husband was a diabetic, which I'm sure didn't go well with his alcoholism. And so she said, well, my husband was a diabetic, because I think Kim Russo was speaking with Dew or interacting with him. And then she said, I'm getting something about your son, too. And it was because he had been in the hospital several times with pancreatitis.
Oh, wow.
And so he was having a lot of issues with that. It was something they were not telling anybody. They were trying to keep it on the hush hush. I was like, you know, unless I said something to Kim Russo before, maybe she really did pick up on, because, you know, with me and psychics, I never know what to trust.
Right.
But it seems like she did pick up on something that the general public didn't know at the time. Loretta's ranch was the first celebrity home that the Ghost Adventures team visited. They caught the following EVP. Get your house back. I hear them. I hear them coming. I need to go down the stairs. Possibly in trouble. Loretta, Lynn, I was hurt. Some kind of a vulgar voice. Gonna cut ya. You can't touch them. So I don't know if those were like a spirit, two spirits talking to each other, of you can't touch them. Or they did say that James Anderson was serving as protection for Loretta.
Sure.
And I found it interesting that they got her name to come through on EVP as well. Aaron and Zach both claimed to be physically touched. And the thing that I liked about this episode, it didn't seem like they had a whole lot of activity. It was more of, you know, catching the EVPs and things like that. When they get less activity, I find it more believable, just because that's our general experience when we investigate.
Sure. A review on TripAdvisor in 2011 reads, "We loved our fall visit to Loretta Lynn's Hurricane Mills Ranch. We did not know the history of paranormal activity in the area until we watched the show on Bio last night. I remembered these photos taken down at the river by the campground during the Songwriters Festival in 2009. We were puzzled with the two photos, as there was no fog or mist in the area. No light other than from a few campfires nearby. It was clear and nothing was in my camera view when I personally took these photos. As you can see, several were made within seconds of the ones with the strange mist and orbs and are fine. I compared my photos with other friends who were taking photos that night. No one else had anything strange show up in their photos. We could not explain these photos."
There were two of them. I didn't really see any orbs or pay any attention to that, but there was this kind of mist. It almost looked like smoke. So I have to believe, you know, none of the campfires were sending any smoke that way.
Right, close enough.
And I think that's why she pointed out that she was taking pictures like boom, 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 boom. So you could see that the smoke would have been in all of the pictures if it was coming through from somewhere. So they were interesting. A tour guide was leading a group through the house and stopped at the staircase. She stepped up onto the staircase in the foyer and explained that the spirits don't like it when you mess with the picture frames. And the guide then moved one of the picture frames. testing the spirits, apparently.
I guess so.
She turned around and then noticed that the visitors were looking at her funny, or rather at something behind her. They claimed that a shadowy kind of thing had appeared behind her. She was then pushed off the second step onto the floor. All the tourists ran out of the house and the tour guide followed them.
Well, if you know they don't like it, you probably shouldn't do it.
All right.
Loretta hasn't been gone that long, and there haven't been any stories about her apparition appearing anywhere yet. But if there was a place she was going to haunt, no one could doubt that it would be her ranch. Was Loretta Lynn psychic, and is her former home haunted?
That is for you to decide.
So do you have a favorite Loretta Lynn song?
Coal Miner's Daughter. It's definitely always course. Been my favorite. But I like a lot of her stuff. She had a very nice voice. She was just sweet to listen to. And I love that she didn't really care that she was singing stuff that maybe wasn't okay at the time. Now a lot of people would listen to the songs and be like, why was this an issue?
Right.
Really want to check out her property for sure. Go and see that
definitely.
Ranch.
Definitely.
I'm sure many of our listeners have been able to see it. Let us know if you've experienced anything out of the ordinary there.
Yes, please.
We'd love to have you all check out our website at historygoesbump.com. And if you'd like to send us some feedback, you can do that at historygoesbump@gmail.com. We heard from Brenda. She said, hello, Diane and Kelly. I just returned from Tombstone, and there's just a bit of info from the ghost tour we did at the Birdcage Theater. The gentleman who was leading the tour did a lot of history on the place. You could see the cribs from the floor, but you cannot go up to them. There are a lot of artifacts, both upstairs and downstairs, that he led us through. The old hearse was pretty cool. I had included that in my post on Facebook, and she put a bunch of pictures up, and so it was very interesting to get to see what the cribs look like. After he leads you through the building, we return back to the main floor where the stage is located in the center of the cribs. He then has chairs arranged around the floor, and he has a couple of paranormal detection devices set up. The one kept going off while we were downstairs. The other device went off constantly when we were up on the main floor. He then turns off the lights, and we took a lot of pictures and video in the dark. We did hear footsteps where you should not be hearing them from. The girl across from where I was sitting picked up orbs on her videos. Then he had us take a lot of photographs with flash, just to see if we would pick up on anything. Neither myself or the other three that I was with picked up anything. Since I've never attended that kind of ghost tour, I'm not sure what to have expected. Then she went on to say that she absolutely loves our show and likes to listen to it every night before bed.
Lovely. Thank you, Brenda.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing that and sharing your pictures in the crew. Definitely one of those places I'd like to check out as well. Want to thank you guys for tuning into this episode. I've been your host, Diane.
And this has been Kelly.
You take care now.
Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by our executive producers.
Make Mord a happy boy and share the podcast.
Hurricane Mills rural.
That awful word, rule. Why do they have words in the rural. English language that nobody can say properly? There's horror and rule. It's just, it's ours. Ours are the bane of our existence.
And S's for me. I mean, the whole English language is challenging for me.
Let's make up our own language.
Okay.
Oh, no. Oh my God. That's what I
At
say
least
when
we
somebody
make each other laugh.
Yeah. I was gonna say, that's what I say when somebody cuts me off in traffic.
Oh no, that's not what she said yesterday.
I gave a one finger salute to somebody and she deserved it.
Do and Loretta hopped in their
I was gonna say mystery, like mystery machine.
You know, when she teamed up with the Red Stripes with Jack White.
With the Red Stripes?
We're just
changing the whole name of the band.
Now.
I like the Purple Stripes better.
You know, they're probably called the White Stripes because his last name is Jack White.
You think?
I never even thought about it till right now.
I saw the little light bulb pop on atop your head.
The interior has a central hall floor pan.
It's a floor pan.
This Valentine's Day, Dunkin's got the perfect pairings to show your love. So get down on one knee with a dozen brownie batter donuts and a cocoa mocha signature latte. Or make them swoon with a strawberry dragon fruit Dunkin' refresher with a Cupid's Choice donut. Are you ready for love? America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.